Philkins basketball tomorrow afternoon here on KMOX. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. have the call of the game, a 1:30 tip from the Chaffetz Arena. That means our coverage will begin just after 1:15. Right now, we're very happy to welcome onto the program somebody who covers the team for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is Stu Durando. Follow him on Twitter at Stu Durando. Stu, thanks for your time as always. How are you?
Hey, good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. This team is playing some pretty good basketball. They're winning some games right now. You look at their 8-10 record at 5-1. Do you feel like they're playing demonstrably better than, say, the end of the non-conference season, or is it more of a case of the 8-10 isn't a very good league, so at times they're playing some opponents that aren't great?
No. Well, yeah, considering that their last game in non-conference was the Edwardsville loss, yes, they are playing demonstrably better. They haven't played the top of the Atlantic 10 yet, but, you know, to start 5-1 is pretty strong. The good thing I'd say about it is that they've won three road games. They lost one that people think, you know, that they probably should have won at UMass. But regardless, they've struggled in past seasons on the road in the Atlantic 10, and they've started 3-1, and that's a good sign for them.
Who do you give the credit to for them finding a way to kind of reverse things as A-10 play opened up?
Oh, boy. You can't put your finger on one person or one thing necessarily. Uri's been Uri, and, they're getting contributions from a lot of people, probably a few more guys in games than they were before. Javonte Perkins has just been excellent the last few games, and if they can continue to get these types of performances out of him, that's going to change the whole look of the team going forward, because he's been so hit and miss up until the start of January with his offense. So that's been one of the really major factors in the success so far.
They're shooting 51% from the field in league play, and they're just under 40% on three-point shots. That's a lot better than what they were doing for their non-conference numbers.
Yeah.
What's led? Is it them running the offensive system better? Like, what do you attribute that to?
No, they were expected to be a very good three-point shooting team specifically, and were not good at all in non-conference for a variety of reasons. Gibson, Jimerson wasn't quite up to what he usually is. Javonte could not get going at all. Sincere Parker, who was thought to be a tremendous shooter, was playing in very short chunks of time, and I thought maybe couldn't get a rhythm going. And so he started, I think, 2-for-23 behind the arc. So now you've got Javonte warming up. He's still got Jimerson, who's hit and miss, but he can really get on runs. Sincere Parker's playing more minutes and I think getting into the flow of the game. And so he's been pretty hot the last three or four games. Larry Hughes is adding to that a little bit with his extra minutes, and he's a pretty good shooter. So you're getting a little bit wider range. And Terrence Hargrove Jr. can also shoot the three with some consistency. So when you've got all those guys hitting, or at least a few of them being sharp in a given game, they're going to be better than they were in the non-conference.
Yeah, you mentioned two guys there that I'm especially interested in Sincere Parker and Larry Hughes Jr. And we have seen, as you just alluded to, we have seen development from each of those players as the season has gone along. If that development continues on, how much more dangerous can they be as this team tries to make their way into the NCAA tournament if they can go on an A-10 tournament run?
I think it's really important because we've seen in the last couple of weeks some of the combinations that include the bench players are as good as the combinations with the starters at times. At Loyola the other night, they had four guys, four players, three starters on the bench with two fouls in the last five or so minutes of the first half. They had reserves on the floor, and that was the group that rallied them. Parker got hot, started making shots, and sometimes that group of like Hughes, Forrester, Parker, Hargrove together is a really good unit.
Bob Ramsey said when he opened up the broadcast the other night in Chicago that it felt like a Cardinals game at Wrigley Field with how many Cardinals fans make their way to Chicago. What was the split? Or I mean, how impressive was it, the number of Billikens fans that made their way to Chicago?
It was pretty good. I would guess maybe a third was SLU fans. And then, when the Billikens got on their runs, it really was noticeable. The enthusiasm, the noise for Loyola was really, really loud and strong early until SLU kind of took charge. But the boosters and fans have been waiting for this game, with Loyola joining the A-10 and getting a chance to go, make the shortest trip now. Dayton was the shortest trip. Now Chicago's the shortest trip. So there were a lot of boosters up there. Some fans made their way up there. It would have been better if it would have been a weekend game instead of a weeknight game. Maybe that'll happen in future years, because I think SLU will play Loyola twice each year moving forward. But yeah, it was a really good showing, and the crowd was pretty strong. It's a good atmosphere, a nice arena.
What the heck happened to Loyola? Like they've been so good. I mean, is it just their coach, Porter leaves, and they're 0-6 in league play? I get that they're stepping up to the A-10, but right. I wasn't following along, and then that game is coming up, and I'm reading the game notes and everything. It's like, what in the world is happening in Chicago?
Yeah, they're just trying to reestablish their footing. It's the second year for the coach. I think they were pretty good last year, finishing up the MVC, and then this year, just as, for whatever reason, the mix of transfers and guys who stayed is just not come around. I mean, they did beat Clemson, which is now a nationally ranked team, mm-hmm. When they got hot from three, and that's how they started against SLU the other night. They started by making, I think, four or five threes in the first 10 minutes, and they were leading. But when they don't have that going on, they're not the Loyola teams that we know of the last 5 years, and the Billikens exploited that.
LaSalle tomorrow, I don't even know what to ask you. They're an okay team, but this feels like a day where if SLU puts the effort on the floor that they've been putting for the last couple of weeks, they should be able to come away with a victory, especially at home.
Yeah, they've got if they're considering any hope of being in the at-large discussion at the end of the season, which will require an incredible A-10 record, they're going to have to win everything from here on out at home. And LaSalle is a definite, must win. LaSalle, they're one of those teams toward the bottom of the league that they look similar in terms of record and so on. They've been good on the road, though. I think they've been maybe as good as any team in the conference on the road, which isn't saying a lot, but I think they're 3-3 away from home. And so, they're not intimidated by being on the road.
He is Stu Durando. You read him STL Today. You read him in the Post-Dispatch. You follow him on Twitter at Stu Durando. Stu, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy not traveling this weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Good deal. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. There's Stu Durando joining us here on Sports Open Line. Again, Billikens basketball tomorrow afternoon.